Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, the sheets in the middle, pass them around. Okay, so Parshas Toldos. Okay, so Rivka, the beginning of the parasha, Rivka is having trouble having children. She's mispalel. Yitzchak is mispalel. She becomes pregnant. She has difficulty in her pregnancy, as we are familiar with the story. Vatelech ledrosh as Hashem. She goes to ask, what's the deal with this pregnancy? Vayomer lo Hashem, the pasuk that we have in front of us. Hashem responds through shame, through his messenger. Shnei goyim bivitnech. You have two nations in your belly. And two nations, two entire regimes will separate from your insides. And power will switch from one to the other. And the younger one will be served by the older one. That is the prophecy. We're not going to go through each part of it. You can take a look in Rashi on your own. What we're going to focus on is the first part of the response. Shnei goyim bivitnech. There are two nations in your beten. Two nations. There. You'll notice the word goyim is misspelled on the very top of your page. That's the way that it appears in the actual Sefer Torah with two yuds. Goyim, nation, should have been spelled with a vav. Gimel, vav, yud, mem. And it's spelled in the Chumash with two yuds. Rashi comments, not one to miss anything, says Rashi, geim ksiv. The word geim is from the word like ga'ah, to be proud. L'hitz ga'ot. We almost use the word in a negative way, to be haughty. But says Rashi, it says as if it says geim. Elu antoninus v'rebi. Who are these two proud nations that are going to come from you? Rebbe and Antoninus. Rebbe, the Nasi of the Jewish people, Rebbe Huda Hanasi, and Antoninus, one of the great Roman leaders. And they represent Yaakov and Esav. They represent Yaakov, the Jewish people, represented by Yehuda Hanasi Rebbe, and Edom, which is going to come from Esav, the representation of our current Western civilization and all that it represents, represented by Antoninus. These two proud people, leaders of their nations, are going to come from you. And how do we demonstrate their pride, says Rashi? Shelo pasku me'al shulchanam, that it never ceased from their tables, lo tznon, velo chazeres, not a radish, not a horseradish, lo biyamos hachama, velo biyamos hagishamim, not during the summer months, nor during the winter months. They always had radishes on their tables. This is Rashi and Chumash. I'm not pulling this like random source out from some place where you never heard. Says Rashi, Shnei goyim bivitneich. You have two nations in your belly, and it's spelled geyim with two yuds. Pride, powerful, proud nations, demonstrated by the fact they always had radishes on their tables. Summer months, winter months, it didn't matter. Radishes were there. Interesting, Rashi. So, at a simple level, we can say they were wealthy. What it means to say is, look how wealthy they were. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, who the Gemara will see at the end, actually was very wealthy, and Antoninus, certainly as a Roman leader, Caesar general, was very wealthy. So they were so wealthy that even seasonal foods they always had on the table. That would be the simplest way to read Rashi. Morale is going to give us another interpretation, another understanding, a deeper understanding. Geim, it's not just that they were wealthy. The Torah doesn't misspell it to imply that they were rich, but that they were proud. They were geim. Lehit ga'ot. Lehit ga'ot. So, radishes? Horseradish? Two different types, Rashi says even. What's the deal? Says the Morale. Beautiful Morale. Nira, I'll start from the top. Nira, Oslamet Aleph. Nira Shlohaya. Don't be distracted. We're not actually talking about specifically Rebbe and Antoninus. It's not them, the person that we're referring to. Elohal klolos shtei ha'umos merames. This statement of Rashi, the two proud nations, are a reference to their nations as a whole. The Jewish people and the Roman Empire. That's who we're referring to when we say Shnei Goyim, these two proud nations within you. Ki kama v'kama malachim amdu me'esav, many, many kings came from Esav. Umaba lomer b'melach zebdil va yosim yikol ha'malachim. Why Antoninus more than all the other kings? Rak ki Rebbe v'Antoninus hayu b'yachad doyme li'yakov v'esav. We chose these two because they represent the most closely the similarity between Yaakov and Esav, these two twins which are going to be born out of Rivka. Rebbe and Antoninus represented how close they were. Zeh Nasi Yisrael was a Melech Adom. This one was the king of Edom. This is a Nasi of Yisrael. Hayu Bizman Echad Shenira Zeh Yosef. They saw each other. The Gemara records many conversations that Rebbe and Antoninus had. Shem Hayu Rosh Le'umosam. The Hachoshav Sheba Uma Roy Lios Nira Chashivos Zeh Yosef. This Chashivos of the Tznon and the Chazeres, the radish and the horseradish, should be most manifest in the leaders of these two nations, who were most similar and had the most in common and the most interaction. So it's just a representation. Jewish people, Roman Empire, the Roman culture is really what's being represented here. In the footnotes, Rav Hartman points out there's a medrash that says that Rebbe and Antoninus were so similar that they actually nursed from the same mother. In a way, to the medrash, I can't explain what exactly that means, but just that the medrash is attempting to really connect the two of them. I'll show you where is that. I forgot which OS, if you see there, where that is in the bottom there.
Aren't they the ones that Rabbi's Rabban Gamliel's son? He was taken to the Roman court because he gave him a bris, and the mother swapped babies for like an hour.
Possible.
Right. That would,
that, yeah, that, that, that's the story. That's okay?
Yeah.
And yeah. And so that would fit. So the midrashim, yeah.
And so it was more.
There you go.
They turned babies for now.
There you go. So literally, so that's what the medrash is pointing out. I didn't know that background of the story. There you go. So the medrash points out they were like the same. They were just like Yaakov and Esav, indiscernible one from another. These two powerhouses, leaders of the nations of Edom, Rome, and the Jewish nation of Rebbe, were just similar, just like Yaakov and Esav. Sof, he says again, not really focusing on them as people in as much as focusing on what they represent. Yesh b'shtei umos davar zesh em yuchadim b'chashivas. Somehow, having a tznon and a chazeres implies chashivas. There is a significance and importance, stature, of a pride that these two nations had, and these two represent them more than anything else. Let's go down to Merames. He just continues describing this one idea. Let's move on to his next idea. Merames, three lines from the bottom of that first column. Merames al Klal Yisrael ve'Edom. So this idea, this Rashi, the two nations, is a remez to Klal Yisrael and to Edom. Sheyesh lem inyan miyuchad. They both have a unique element to them, which is Shehem Geim. They are proud people. Klal Yisrael and Edom both share that quality. Zerotze lomar. Ki nefesh choshuv yesh lahem. They have a certain stature. They have a nefesh, they have a soul, but it doesn't literally mean a soul, a personage. They have a personality that embodies chashivas. V'noyagim b'maycho shalahem b'chashivas. And they therefore act when it comes to their food with chashivas. They treat their food, they treat their table with a certain level of chashivas. Doesn't mean they were wealthy. Chazal do not mean to say Rebbe and Antoninus were wealthy, and they even had seasonal foods when it was out of season, because then the Torah wouldn't say geim, the Torah would say ashirim. But they were proud. And that means that they had certain foods on their table. So Rotsi Bazeh, what Chazal want with that, says the Maral? Kiyesh ochel achiloso kibehema. There's a way that a person can eat like an animal. Animals have to eat too. Animals eat, people eat. The only difference is how they eat. Not if they eat or do they eat. We even eat a lot of the same foods. But it's just a matter of how one eats. And a nation that holds itself to be choshev, a nation that has an adinus hanefesh, a sensitivity of the soul to recognize who they are, eats not like a behema who is not machshev atzmo, aval Yisrael ve'esav ein noyegin kach. These two nations of Yisrael and Edom don't act that way. Rak misaknin tikun haroi la'odom la'achshev atzmo. They're misakin, they prepare everything that's befitting for a person who is machshev himself. And you can tell, anytime, again, we're always on the run, but you note how we eat. What is it that distinguishes a Shabbos meal from the rest of the meals? Right away, when you walk into the house, the table is set. Right? I'm sure all of you set your tables exquisitely for your weekday Tuesday night meals, just like my house is perfectly and immaculately set on a Tuesday night meal, I'm sure. but not like it is for Shabbos. And right away you walk into a home for a Shabbos Friday night, you come home from shul, Shabbos lunch, there's something different about this meal. No food has been served yet. You can't tell me it's because of the food you serve. We know it's, we're used to this idea, but just stop and think for a second, what happens when you set the table for Shabbos? There's a chashivas, this is a significant meal. It just changes everything. The din went by Malava Malka. So when the Shulchan Aruch talks about having Malava Malka, he talks about setting the table for Malava Malka, not just having a meal. You should set your table when you sit down. That gives it the chashivas that it's a real meal. It's not just grabbing it on the go, like we live the rest of our lives. Table is set. Says the Maral, what it means to have radish and snown is because these two nations were misaknin tikun haroiva adam lahachshiv atzmo. They prepared that which was necessary for a person to be machshiv himself. The chen yesh b'maseches avodah zarah brings a gemara that says edom harbe shvakim tikneinu harbe machtzos tikneinu. They established many shuks, many marketplaces, many bathhouses. The hakol la'adin es nafsham, and they did it to indulge, so to speak, to give pleasure to their nefesh. Meaning, they were a nation that built bathhouses. They were a nation that built marketplaces because they understood that they were important. They viewed themselves as significant. They viewed themselves as bringing culture to the world, as representing culture to the world, and they treated themselves such. And that manifested itself in fancy architecture and developed marketplaces and bathhouses because that's what we do. V'chein Edom noyagin ad hayom. Until today, says the Maral. Edom, he doesn't mean literally Rome, but what Rome represents, which is Western civilization. The Maral lived in the 1500s. Until today, says the Maral, Western civilization holds itself to be chashif. They treat themselves with significance, with their clothing. L'his kabein ma'od yoser mishar umos. Now again, we take this stuff for granted, but when you think about third world countries and the Western world, the developed world, just think about clothing, just for a moment. How we deal with clothing, and the multi-billion dollar industry that westernized civilization has created, and then you see pictures of what it was like today, in third world countries. You see a picture right away, you know where they're from. Because we would never dress like that. Because even, forget about Jewish, not Jewish, just modern society, Western society, the heirs of Edom, hold themselves chashivas, just in a certain way. It should be fancy. Spend a lot of money on clothing. That is an Edom-introduced idea that says, I'm worth it. I am worth it. It's worth the money, because I should look a certain way. That's a cultural view of oneself that third world countries don't share. They don't have it. Not just third world culture is going to say, but the descendants of Esav don't necessarily have it. Mm-hmm. They have fancy buildings as well. Lo kimo yishma'elim she'enim akpidim al ma'achalom v'al malbushom v'al marchitzosehem. Not like the Yishma'elim, says Moral. In the 1500s, you look at the Arab countries and you look at the Western countries and you see a difference. There's a difference, he says, in the way they dress. They're not makbid on their food. They're not makbid to eat in the way Western civilization eats. On their clothing, their food, their bathhouses, it's a different world. We look at it as backwards and uncivilized. But that's exactly how we look at it. What do you mean you pass when you go to Eretz Yisrael? And right away you pass through a town, you know which one are the Jewish towns, which are the Arab towns. They just look different. There is a level of cleanliness that's different. So that's not just a Jewish thing, that's the entire Western civilization, the descendants of Edom, have that. They view themselves in a certain way, and therefore they treat themselves in a certain way. V'kein, v'chein hoyu Yisrael nimshochin achazemet neima alosam v'chashivusam v'atzmam. The Yin and Western civilization share that. When you talk about the clash, we're almost at Hanukkah, believe it or not, but the clash of Greek culture, which preceded Rome and introduced this idea into the world, was so enticing to the Jewish people. When the Jewish people were surrounded by the Byzantine Empire and the Assyrians, there was a avodah zarah, there was idolatry, but there wasn't a culture that was tempting because the Jewish people always had a different adinus hanefesh, a different chashivas. So that was It's like Rabbi Wein likes to explain, I mentioned this last night. The Jew who lived in Poland and had some pauper, backwards, illiterate, Polish, non-Jewish neighbor wasn't tempted to be like him. He wanted to protect himself from him, but he didn't want to be like him. The Jew who lived in Germany and was neighbors of some cultured, you know, aristocratic person who went to the Philharmonic Symphony every other night and read poetry and philosophy, we want to be like that. Because we are like that. We are Adin, Chashiv. We're Geyim. So that pulls us. And that's why the battle that the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, has been locked in since the Hanukkah story has been one of culture, one of that which we're similar to, and that which pulls us towards it, which is a nation of Edom, which is the Gulf that we're in right now, which shares that with us. Now, the Maral uses the language here, which we're going to take a look in other places where he writes, in which there's still a fundamental difference between the chashivas of Edom and the Jewish people, but we both share that. And that, says Maral, is what Rashi means when he quotes Chazal, Shnei goyim bevitnech, Ksiv geyim, there's a tznon and a chazeres. When they set the table, until the radishes, we would say soup to nuts, the radishes are on the table. Because when an Adam chashiv sits down to a meal, where are the radishes? Where are the radishes? So Rebbe and Antoninus would not sit down to a meal without radishes. Because an Adam Chashev has radishes and chazeres on the table always, all year round. Not because they were wealthy, Maral learns, because it was a sign of how they treated their table. And their table was a place where malachim sit and eat, and therefore it was always set in that way. Lekach, flipping over, Amar Shnei Goyim or Geyim Bevitnech, that's how the Maral understands that Chazal. And with this he answers the question, when Rebbe dies, the Gemara says he stuck out his hands to the heavens before he died and said, Ribbono shel Olam, you can be meyid on me, I'll be meyid on myself that I was never nene min ha'olam hazeh filu be'etzpektana, not with my smallest finger that I derive any pleasure from this world. So the Mefarshim ask, if Rebbe on his deathbed says that not a single pleasure from this world that I derive, and Rashi here quotes in Chumash that he always had the highest and most fancy delicacies on his table, what do you mean he never derived any benefit from it? So everyone tries to answer this question. Rashi says there's no stira, there's no problem with that. Because the fact that he had radishes on his table is not because he was looking to derive pleasure from this world, it's because he held himself in a certain stature, that how could he set a table for an Adam Chashiv without having radishes on the table? Says Maral, now we can answer that Rebbe said again, Meshas p'tiraso shalanenim in olam hazeh afilu b'etzvaktana zein doimel, there's no question, it's not comparable to what we're just talking about. It's known v'chazeres ein zeh hanoa klal. Not because of the pleasure involved, ela shehoya bocher bazeh lehachshiv es atzmo v'hu derech hachashuvim kasher roi l'fi chashivos hanefesh shalahem. Aval shiyen noita achar hanoa oso v'ta'avoso, to say the Rebbe was pulled after the hanoa and his taiva, lo Nasa, absolutely. Rebbe can say, on my table was set immaculately every single week. Every single day, table was set with the finest delicacies, not because I was after Hana, not because I enjoyed it. I wasn't in it. I didn't even eat it. But because when a Jew and a Jewish Nasi sets his table, he sets his table with everything that's necessary to show chashivas. That, says the Maral, is pshat in the Rashi, which, if you haven't seen the Rashi before, it's one of those eye-openers. That's what he says it means. Chashivas. And I want to share with you a note 126, Rav Hartman quotes from a couple other places in the Maral, which he goes into the distinction between Edom and Klal Yisrael. They both have this level of chashivas, but it's a fundamentally different type of chashivas. In note 26 he writes, Ki Edom noeg b'chashivas. Edom, Rome, and Western civilization, they act with chashivas. V'chashivas Edom Mitzad hanhagosam v'heim machshivim atzmam. Where does their chashivas come from? It comes from the way they act because they are machshiv themselves. Meaning any individual can choose to act in a way that's chashiv. Anyone can do that. Edom as a nation acts in a way because they are machshiv themselves. The chashivas Yisrael is mitzad atzmam. But the Jewish people, the chashivas, is not because we choose to act in that way and we're machshiv ourselves. It's because we are chashuvim. Ki hachashivus behem be'edom, shehoyu misyakrim ma'od, v'ze yofi shelahem. The beauty of Edom is that they are machshiv themselves. They created a culture and a nation that's built on take yourself seriously. However, Yisrael, afal pi shelo hayo lahem shum hanhagas chashivus. They might have no behaviors of chashivus, yofim mitzad atzman. Our chashivas comes internally, not because we act that way and because we're machshiv ourselves, which we need to be, but because we intrinsically are. We are the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Am HaNivchar, and therefore we are chashuvim. Therefore, we have to act as chashuvim because we are, as opposed to Edom, who become chashuvim because they act with it. And that, says the Moral, even though we both have a chazeres and a tznon on our table, Edom is only chashiv as long as they'll maintain that. They have to act that way to have their chashivas. Klal Yisrael has to reflect their chashivas because they are intrinsically chashiv. He writes further in the second underlined section there, Yaakov hu Adam de emes. We discuss why Adam, why man is called Adam. Yaakov is the true Adam. The Esav whom is dame bilvusho. Edom, Esav, looks like Adam in his clothing. V'yeshlo toer Adam. He has the appearance of a man. Ki halavush hu toerosho Adam. The clothing that you wear reflects who you are. So Edom wears clothing that reflects chashivas. Ve'enu Adam. But inside, it's an empty culture. Inside, it's a culture that runs after just being chashiv. Rakshu hu toerosho. He's the appearance of man. Ki Yaakov hu tzelem Adam Harishon, we represented the image of Adam Harishon. Ve'ilu Esav yorosh es bigdei Adam Harishon. Esav stole, ended up with the clothing of Adam Harishon. If you trace to Rashi, the clothing of Nimrod, which was taken from Adam, which ends up as Esav, the bigdei chamudos that Rivka has to take to give to Yaakov, the clothing of Adam ends up in the possession of Edom and Esav. The essence of Adam is embodied by Klal Yisrael. So Edom looks like Klal Yisrael. You look at their two tables, they're the same. But the chashivas of Edom is external. It's because they give themselves a chashivas. They act with it, whereas Klal Yisrael comes intrinsically. One last quote on the other side of the page. V'zeh sod gadol b'inyon Edom. And this is the deep secret of understanding of Edom. Shehi uma p'chusa b'atzma, intrinsically a lowly nation. Ela shehi gozeles. She's a thief. Person who steals a lot of money can act or look, appear wealthy. It's not because of their intrinsic value. They're wearing the clothing of the Melech, but they are not the Melech. Adam Arishon was given clothing. We are the heirs of Adam, and his clothing went to Edom. And then those two worlds collided and continue to collide. This is the battle that the Jewish people face in exile. This is our gullus that we're in the middle of, is gullus Edom. And we're still fighting the battle of culture, of chashivas. It's the reenactment of a lot of the elements of the Greek and Hellenistic period of two nations that view themselves as above, better, refined than everybody else. And they clash. And the emperor's clothing is being worn by Edom and Esav, and the essence of the chashivas comes from within us, so we have to reflect that chashivas in the way that we act, with our tznon and chazeres on the table always, because we are b'nei malachim, and recognize that Edom, across the street, looks just like us, holds themselves to be just as advanced, as chashiv, as refined, as we do, but beneath that clothing, it's an empty culture. It's an empty life. It doesn't have the intrinsic chashivas of the life that we have, even though it looks that way. And that's the sod gadol, says the Moral, of Edom. And just like Yaakov and Esav looked like twins, they were indiscernible for the first 13 years of their life until they went off into their different ways. And shnei goyim vivinech, shnei geyim vivinech, they look the same, they're both proud, they're both haughty, they both have that chashivas hanefesh of the radish on their table. But as the Moral says, Klal Yisrael has to recognize what they really have inside as they compete with someone who looks and acts the same way they do. So says the Moral. Beautiful morale. Okay, questions, comments? Okay, you go set your tables, Ron. Yeah. For breakfast, too, by the way, your table has to be set.
I really don't understand the part about them stealing.
Like where they, how they got it?
Yeah.
In other words, they took the clothing, the external chashivas, but in true, in other words, you can have, I hope this will be a good marshal.
Yeah, like from Adam Arishon, they
spit. Yeah, in other words, the clothing of Adam was taken by Nimrod, which was taken by Esav.
Oh, right, we're going back to that.
Representing them, they held on to that clothing. No, it's just a simple marshal. If you take a king has a son who's a prince. So that prince is intrinsically, he's a prince. Mm-hmm. He has to reflect his status in the way that he acts and dresses and eats. A commoner on the street can act like a prince. He can get himself princely looking clothing. He can learn how to act, look, and be like, but he's not a prince. Mm-hmm. He's just intrinsically not, even though he looks it and can learn to act a part. So, now, again, we're not getting into the whole thing with Edom, but Edom took that element.
Okay. Thank you.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.